Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday, April 9th, 2015. This is the 7th edition of the Hockey Guys Podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, and back after dealing with an upper body injury or flu-like symptoms, whatever what you want to call it. Sharon, Chris, what's up?
I'm feeling much better. Just a crazy week of sports, and I had to be ready for this great show that we'll be doing tonight.
Yeah, we've got a lot on tap for today. Joining us, our guest today will be Jocelyn Asta. She writes for Canucks Hockey, and she'll come on to talk about the Vancouver Canucks. Long overdue. We haven't talked about the Canucks for a while, and they've been doing really well. Second currently right now in the Pacific Division as well. Christian Rocious. I'm probably butchering that last name pronunciation, but I'll apologize to him when he gets on the air. He's going to join us from Flames Nation. He's going to talk a little bit about the Calgary Flames and get us set ready for tonight's game against the Los Angeles Kings. A lot of ramifications in that one. If the Flames win, they clinch a playoff spot themselves as well as eliminate the Los Angeles Kings from playoff competition. Didn't think it'd be possible, but here we are right now looking at it. Chris, your thoughts going into tonight? You got a lot of games on tap. Sens and Rangers, Bruins and Panthers, Wings and Habs, Jets and Habs. Many implications. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's going to be one hell of a day. I mean, if you're looking for something to watch on TV, don't look longer than just seeing a game on till 11:30. I mean, this is going to be one of the most action-packed days of the year with hockey. Every game has such ramifications, and like, it's just going to be, I don't know if I'm even going to be watching Montreal that much. I'll be looking at all these games. Ottawa, New York is going to be one hell of a match. Boston, Florida. I think Florida is going to take everything out on Boston, the team that kicked them out of the playoffs. Chicago, St. Louis is one of the best rivalries in the NHL right now. Winnipeg, Colorado. Winnipeg is desperate for 4 points, and we'll see what Colorado can do. And then the matchup of the night, Los Angeles and Calgary. It's going to be probably one of the most fun games to watch or one of the most physical games. Because I'm telling you, if one of these teams go down by a lot early on, teams are going to be starting to send messages. And let's say LA is trailing 3-0 or 2-0. I can see LA taking their anger out on this Calgary Flames team that has just pushed them out of a playoff spot. The team that I said will make the playoffs over the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, this is just, it's one of the best seasons of hockey till the end. I mean, I don't remember a season that's been this action-packed and still is going to be, and the standings so close. This is a fun part.
Like you said, this really has been one of the most exciting seasons that I can remember in recent memory. The races that we've seen out of each conference with the wild card. I mean, you look at just the last few weeks alone. I mean, the battle between Minnesota, Winnipeg, L.A., Calgary, it seems like every night there's some sort of shuffle in the standings. And what, like I thought weeks earlier when I said that is almost a guarantee the Kings were going to get it at some point because the math was going to catch up to the Calgary Flames and them constantly getting outshot was going to, like I said, catch up to them, and losing Mark Giordano was going to completely end their playoff hopes. And as much as I've ripped on the Flames, they've done a tremendous job of staying within reach. Right now, like I said, they sit third in the Pacific Division. And I think they've got nothing to lose tonight. I mean, when you think of all the pressure that's on the Kings right now to win, knowing that if they don't get it tonight, they're done. I mean, if I'm Calgary, I'm probably going in with a big smile on my face, not scared at all. Games in our barn. I got a good feeling about Calgary tonight, but we're going to see another game that doesn't have as much ramifications on the standings, but we're going to talk about a little bit before our guest Jocelyn Aspa comes on, is the Vancouver Canucks and the Phoenix Coyotes. And they're actually the Arizona Coyotes. I can't stop doing that because the team has been so irrelevant this year that it doesn't even matter. But that's an exciting game. And the Canucks have been really exciting as of late. You know, the guy that we keep bringing up is Radim Verbata, and he's had an incredible season right now with 31 goals. And, you know, usually free agent signings who get signed between that $4 and $6 million range are usually those middle-of-the-pack players who get overpaid in free agency. But he's returned the Canucks with as much value as they could have asked for tallying up 31 with the City Twins.
I mean, he's been a spark plug to that team. He's brought the offense that that team needed. The Sedins aren't anymore. I mean, you'll see spurts of it, but they don't have that chemistry that they used to have with any player they put on their line. It's with Alex Burrows now, and it's doing pretty well, but it's not the Sedins they used to be. He ran him for broad is bringing in secondary scoring, which is what this team needs. And last year, they weren't a playoff team. And I can tell you, a lot of teams, or a lot of people that watch hockey did not see the Vancouver Canucks making the playoffs this year. And now look at them. They're one of the best teams in the West. And I look at that roster. I mean, that defense does not look that strong, but it is a team that is dominating the games they play. They have some offensive weapons. It's an exciting team to watch, and I find them so quiet around the NHL that no one's talking about how well they're actually.
No, you're right. And, man, like I said, I've just really enjoyed watching the hockey over the last few weeks. Like, my goodness, every single night it seems like we're privy to some of the best games. I mean, look at Sens and Penguins the other night. Penguins go up 3-0 in the first, and before you know it, the Ottawa Senators are the best team for the next 45 minutes, get the winner next time. And while the Sens, yeah, they picked up a point, but, I mean, does anyone have any confidence in Pittsburgh right now? I mean, can you really look at the Penguins and say that you confidently think they're going to get into the playoffs? And all the likelihood says they will. It seems like if they get another point or two, they're going to clinch their spot anyway. But, man, like, Ottawa's, they're on fire right now. No one's coming in to beat them.
But the scary thing is with Pittsburgh is if they lose, that team is going to be reconstructed. Imagine a guy like Malkin or Letang or even Crosby being traded. And this is something you can't do that to your organization. And the people that run that organization will not allow that. They got mad losing in the playoffs. Imagine getting kicked out of the playoffs, one of the worst runs they've done. This team deserves to be out of the playoffs with the way they've played since December.
Do you really think, though, that blowing up the team or making major decisions regarding the makeup of the roster, do you really think that's necessary? I mean, are the Penguins more just a victim of bad injuries and bad streaks? I mean, they're an example of a team that gets destroyed by PEO in the sense that Marc-Andre Fleury, while he has had somewhat of a bounce back year, he's not at a level that most people try to place him in when it comes to elite goalies in the league. And like, I don't know, when it comes to the Pens, I see why people get frustrated. Obviously, you've got two of the most talented players in the last decade. But at the same time, I mean, I think the injury excuse does apply to them a little more than maybe some teams can.
But that's the thing, Hunter. They shouldn't be blowing that thing up. That team has got some of the best players out there. But they're going to. If they miss the playoffs, the likelihood is Mike Johnson will lose his job, Jim Rutherford will lose his job, and one of those star guys may be kicked out because you didn't make the playoffs. And that was the goal for that team. I don't agree with it. They shouldn't. That is one of the best teams out there, and they've got such pieces to build off of. You can, if you get in the right direction, it can be a totally strong team. But realistically, if they do that, if the ownership chooses to go a different side and get new management, they may think about and consider trading one of those three figureheads. And, of course, they're going to regret it. So the Toronto Maple Leafs in 5 years, maybe if the rebuild actually goes well, they are going to regret trading Phil Kessel because he is an elite scorer that anyone in the NHL would want. And they're going to regret it because there's no players like Phil Kessel and there's no player like Evgeny Malkin. It's going to be something that everyone's going to regret on the Pens. It's a mess of a team, and I totally agree. Their injuries have set them back. Pascal Dupuis, that injury killed them. And you may think, well, it's Pascal Dupuis. He played on a top six role. Him, Chris Kunitz, and Crosby was a great line. Since he's been down, the lines have been shambled because no one can play with Crosby.
No, they're not in a good spot. And while I don't agree that blowing it up may be the answer, I think people are going to want some kind of answer. And I think a lot of times when teams don't have the results that they expected, they overreact. And Pittsburgh right now looks like a prime candidate to overreact. And if you're firing Mike Johnson and Jim Rutherford after 1 year, then the problem is running deeper than that, at least in the higher-ups. Let's take a break from the Pens, as well, they'll be playing tomorrow night against the New York Islanders. See that game against the Flyers, too? They blew the lead within the last minute. My God.
It's a mess of a team right now. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just a mess of a team, and it's sad because the team has such good players and has one of the best-looking rosters out there, and it's frustrating. And I'll tell you this. I don't like what Jeremy Rutherford has done here. I don't think he's done the right thing. I think he's hurting this team. I thought the David Perron trade was a horrible trade. David Perron's a streaky scorer. You didn't need to give up a first round up there. I don't think he's doing the right thing with this team. This team needs help. It's getting older. Chris Kunitz is getting old. David Perron, he's pretty young, but he's not an old – I mean, he's not the youngest of them all. Rob Scuderi, you're putting too much pressure on him. This team is older and not as good as this team thought they were and the management thought they were. And I don't think you touched your three figureheads, but this team needs some help, and Mario Lemieux has to come into this team and start redoing it. And I've heard some things about this Pittsburgh group that it is really corrupted right now. And it's not just with this season. It's been with owners and Mario Lemieux. They're not talking the right way, and they're not communicating the right way, and they're not getting the people. They're not agreeing with who they wanted. I listened to a podcast earlier the other day, and I heard that Lemieux didn't want Shiro fired. And there was a huge argument with ownership that he didn't want him fired. And argument with your own, I mean, that's just going to bring it down to the players on the ice. This team is just, I hope they can do something to prove us wrong, but it doesn't look good. Even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to go far.
No, I wouldn't expect them to make it past the first or second round. But, yeah. That's the way it goes.
As you see, they frustrate me a lot because I love that team and I think they're so good and they're just not playing to the way they should be.
Oh, no, I completely understand what you're saying. It's just annoying. But we're going to see. All right, we're having some technical difficulties with Jocelyn. Seems like she's having some trouble calling. So we're going to see if we can get her on near the end of the show. Right now, joining us online is a man who writes for Flames Nation and Future Considerations. And he's pretty good at math, and he talks about the Calgary Flames a lot. His name is Christian Rochus. How bad did I butcher the pronunciation of your last name just there?
It wasn't too bad. He went a little soft on the T. It's Rotus, but that's okay.
Rotus.
How are you guys doing?
Not too bad, man. How are you doing, Christian?
I'm above average.
Nice. You know what else is above average is the play of the Calgary Flames lately. Oh, you see what I did there? All right.
Yeah, that
Calgary
was good.
Flames. Oh, man, I'll do what
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, no, they're playing great right now. Well, actually, I don't think great is the way to put it. I think they're just playing the way they've played all year. They've just taken a lot of shots against, and they've just somehow turned them into wins.
I mean, it's one of the most fun teams to watch in the NHL right now. Christian, I mean, who has stepped up with this Jiro Denner injury? Since he went down, everyone was talking about, okay, you know, they're finally going to hit ground. They're not going to be the team that everyone thought they were. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they've done better with him gone. But who has stepped up? Who's been the main guy, if several?
Well, I think the obvious one has been Chris Russell. He's not only taken a leadership role with the team, but he's also He's also stepped up with his partner Dennis Wiedemann, and they play over 30 minutes a night. They play in all situations. They are Bob Hartley's go-to guys. It used to be Giordano and Brody, but since Gio went down, Brody's been paired with Derek Englund, who's been average, below average. So they kind of take on the secondary competition, and it's been Chris Russell and it's been Dennis Wiedemann. Like I mentioned, they play over 30 minutes a night. They contribute offensively. Actually, Dennis Wiedemann has set career highs in both goals and assists this year after being a healthy scratch in game two of the season. He actually has 54 points in 79 games to go along with 15 goals. So he's been their offensive workhorse. And then Chris Russell actually set an NHL record in blocked shots just a few days ago, which it does show that the Calgary Flames give up a ton of shots against. But those two have stepped up, and well, it shocked absolutely everyone that this team has kept on going without Giordano. It's almost like they haven't missed a beat.
Sean Monahan has 31 goals this year, and as a 20-year-old, that's simply incredible. He's getting top-line minutes, and he's going up against some of the toughest competition in the very, very tough Pacific Division and Western Conference. Talk about what you've seen from Sean this year. And is he emerging into one of the elite centermen in the Western Conference?
I think he is. I think he is. And I think he's done it under strange circumstances. Usually the top-line guys that really start to thrive, they play with elite talent. But Sean Monahan played with what was, until this year, an above-average to average NHLer in Yuri Hudler, who's taken the step into a bona fide a top line forward, and with the rookie Johnny Goodrow, who stands what 5'7", 150. So you wouldn't expect him to take these great leaps and bounds this year, but he has, and it's been in part due to his line mates. I mean, Yuri Hudler's having a career year with 71 points, and Johnny Goodrow leads the Calder race probably in everyone's opinion. But Sean Monahan himself, his two biggest problems coming into the NHL were size. He was just 180 pounds. There were concerns about how strong he'd be on the puck, how strong his face-offs would be, and skating. He wasn't explosive. He was a middle-of-the-road skater. When he was drafted, those were his two major concerns. Well, he put on about 20 pounds of muscle from his draft year to his rookie year last year, and he's added another 5 or 10 to that. So I think he's around 205, 210 now. And he's extremely hard to knock off the puck. When Sean Monahan has the puck, it's no longer just push him off it. He gets it, and he makes a move to the net, or he distributes the puck. And I do think he's turned into one of the best centers in the Pacific Division. I think there's a lot of guys in the Central, like Jonathan Toews and such, that will still give him a run for his money. But I think he's right up there with the Anze Kopitars right now, and he's playing with confidence. He's got 31 goals, like you mentioned. He scored the game winner against Arizona the other night in a game that was teetering either way. I mean, everyone talks about the Los Angeles Kings and how they blew their game against the Edmonton Oilers, but the Calgary Flames could have gone to overtime against the Phoenix Coyotes. They were tied 1-1, or I'm sorry, they were up 1-0, and David Moss had an empty net, and he shot it, and Matt Stajan somehow deflected it out of midair, wide of the net. So that would have tied the game. And the Coyotes would have been up 3-2 when Sean Monahan scored to win the game. So that game could have gone either way, but he stepped up and he scored his 31st, and that's what he's done all year. He scored a lot in the third period. He scored a lot in overtime, and I think he's this team's most clutch player right now.
On that first line, the Monahan line, I mean, it's the best line, you know. But I think the most unnoticed player is Yuri Hudler. I mean, he has stellar numbers. And he's playing with such confidence with those guys. They have instant chemistry, but who is the man behind this line? I mean, was it Hartley? Is he the one? Has this line been there since the beginning of the season, or has it just kind of formed?
It just kind of formed mid-season. Johnny Goodrow, I think, was the last guy to join this line. Going back to last year, one of Bob Hartley's favorite combinations at the beginning of the year was Sean Monahan with Yuri Hudler and Sven Berchi, who has now moved on to the Vancouver Canucks. And Sean Monahan and Yuri Hudler always had some chemistry, I thought, just watching them play. And Johnny Goodrow has kind of just seamlessly slipped in there since around November. But it is Jiří Hudler who makes this line tick. I mean, he leads the Flames in scoring with 73 points in 77 games. He's one goal away from 30, and he does it all. He distributes the puck, he shoots the puck, and he just kind of creates space for everyone. He's extremely underrated in his stick handling and his agility. I think he has an uncanny ability to just create space for himself and for others, and when he's got the puck in the offensive zone, he's got the ability to distribute it to a guy like Sean Monahan or Johnny Gaudreau. Or if he doesn't have the puck, he's got the ability to kind of shift around and find open space to bury the puck.
Christian, this will be my last question. And thanks for coming on today on the Hockey Guys podcast with
Thanks for having me.
And Christian. Oh, of course. The Flames are 21-6-1 against the Pacific Division this year. And it seems to me that they've played a lot of games where they've been down or they've been getting outplayed lately, and it almost feels like they shouldn't be in the game, but somehow they managed to stay in, and before you know it, they've come away with 2 points. My question would be, has Bob Hartley been one of the key factors in the Calgary Flames team improving this year, or is this team winning despite the fact that when you look at the data, Hartley's teams produce very less than stellar possession numbers?
I think it's somewhere down the middle. I think the makeup of this team, the people in the dressing room, are what allows this team to be successful. I don't think there's a lot of Johnny Rain clouds in there. I don't think there's a lot of negative people that when you're down a goal or two, they just hang their head and they say, okay, well, we're done. But on the same token, Bob Hartley has had success at every single level of pro hockey that he's coached at. In the American Hockey League with the Hershey Bears, he won a Calder Cup. In the NHL with the Colorado Avalanche, he won a Stanley Cup. He went over to the Swiss League in Europe, and he took a very similar team. He was coaching for Zurich, and they were a late entry into the playoffs, and they made it all the way to the final, and they played the powerhouse. It was almost like someone scripted it, and they upset the powerhouse, and they won there as well. So he's won at every single level. And I do think there's something to be said for that. And I do think that Bob Hartley and his system and what he preaches and the way he preaches it has an effect on this team. It calms them down and it makes them believe. And it's not like when they're down, they're still pushing and they play the way they do after they score a goal. They have to score that first goal. But after they score that first goal, then they believe anything is possible. I mean, they were down 4-0 to the Ottawa Senators in the third period with 12 minutes left, and they scored a goal. And then they scored another goal. And then they scored another and another. And as soon as this team scores that first goal, they believe that they're going to score the rest. There's no doubt about it. And Bob Hartley has instilled a belief in his system. This team believes in the way that they play. And even if they get outchanced and even if they get out Corsi to crap, I mean, every night they usually end up on the wrong side of the Corsi. They're second last in the West in that number, but they believe that if they keep working their system, that eventually they're going to come out on top, and eventually the goals will come and the wins will come. And I mean, nothing's going to make you believe more in something than results, and it's worked for them.
Hey, thanks again, Christian, for coming on. And my last question, pretty simple, but this is a big one. Who's going to win this game tonight, Calgary or L.A.? Your gut feeling.
I think that's going to be a lot easier to answer after you're 5 minutes into the game. A lot of people say that the Calgary Flames can dictate their own destiny in this game, and it all depends on how they play. But I don't think that's entirely true. I think tonight depends completely on the Los Angeles Kings. If they come in hanging their heads and feeling sorry for themselves after their loss in Edmonton, then the Calgary Flames will win this game because the Calgary Flames will be ready. But if the Los Angeles Kings come out and play the way they have in the past when their back is against the wall, then they'll win. I think the first 5 minutes will tell you everything. I think if the Los Angeles Kings come out with speed and they're hitting and they're playing well, and the Calgary Flames don't even get a sniff of the offensive zone, or they do, and Jonathan Quick just brushes it off and he's playing with confidence, then I think the LA Kings are going to win this one because they are the better team. And you can only get buried possession-wise so many times in the season before it comes to bite you, and it hasn't bit the Flames yet, but I think in a game of this much importance, if the Los Angeles Kings are on top of their game, they will win. It doesn't mean they'll make the playoffs because the Calgary Flames have a backdoor via the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday. If they win that, then they're in regardless. But my gut feeling says that LA does take it, but we'll see 5 minutes in.
Oh, it's going to be a heck of a game, and we'll make sure that we'll be watching at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Mountain, the Calgary Flames and the LA Kings battle. Big game, and we want to thank you, Christian, for coming on the show today. Thanks for having us, and say hi to Brian Burke for me while you're there in Calgary.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Anytime. It's Christian Rodas. I think I still butchered it. That's too bad. You can follow him on Twitter at C. Rodas. Very smart Calgary Flames mind. And I'm glad that we got to have him on. And if the Flames make the playoffs, hopefully we'll have him on during the postseason. Chris, we got 4 minutes. Anything that's bugging you before we go into tonight?
No, I already think I got my eye on the Pittsburgh Penguins. But it's going to be one hell of a hockey day. I'm excited to watch Ottawa versus New York. New York's resting a couple stars. I think there's resting Rick Nash and Mark Stahl. And maybe a couple. But, you know, Ottawa's got to come in here ready. They have to win this game. Because if they don't win this game, it's over. We have our playoff teams. So Ottawa's going to, and I really do see them beating New York. And if they do, the Ottawa Senators, in my mind, will be making the 2014-2015 Stanley Cup playoffs on one of the best runs we've seen in NHL history. And I think the Montreal versus Detroit game will be very defensive. You know, we've already seen that the past. It's going to be one hell of a matchup as well. Detroit's desperate for points. You know, they're also fighting for a playoff spot. I'm looking down the schedule today. I mean, there's so many good games. I want to watch all of these. It's going to be a crazy night on the television.
No, it'll be good. And the one game that I'm really looking forward to is Winnipeg and Colorado. And like we were saying, if Winnipeg gets this win, this will be their first franchise playoff spot since 2006-2007. When I was listening to some of this stuff, from the 2007 Atlanta Thrashers, the only time the franchise ever made the playoffs where they were swept by Sean Avery and the New York Rangers. In the 2007 Thrashers, Marian Hossa had 100 points. Listen to this guy. I can't even remember this guy. Vyacheslav Kozlov had 80 points. Ilya Kovalchuk had 76. That was the top line. But then listen to the point drop-off here. From 76 points to Scott Mellenby's 36 points. That's how why the gap was in their offensive production, and no wonder they were swept in the first round. So, yeah, it's a big night for the Jets and the history of their franchise. One more thing that I wanted to say before we go, and we got about 2 minutes left. The Toronto Maple Leafs called up Colton Orr today, and they're expected to dress him for their final regular season game this Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens. I was thinking about this, about how you can argue Orr wasn't an NHL player maybe at all during his career. And I remember when the Leafs signed him in 2009, he was the sheriff of the NHL. He really was the king heavyweight. And, you know, he was one of the lone bright spots for those really bad Leafs teams. I remember that first year he was there. They had really, really young players in Phil Kessel, Luke Shen, Tyler Bozak, a throwback Thursday and Luca Caputi. And they had to deal with .880 save percentage goaltending from Vesna Toska. And those were some tough years. And Colton Orr was a soldier during those years. And as much as I was criticizing him near the end, and that him and Fraser McLaren's spots on the Toronto Maple Leafs weren't legitimate, you know what? They did work for that team. And I've got nothing but respect for Colton Orr. I know he spent the last year with the Toronto Marlies and didn't play much, didn't fight much, didn't skate much, but I hope he enjoys his last game this Saturday in the NHL because it was one hell of a career, and, man, that guy could fight. I know that fighting's dead, but Colton Orr could drop the gloves. And, yeah, those are my thoughts on that.
He plays one of the hardest positions in sports. You got to give a little respect to him.
Nothing but respect.
Characteristics of who they want to honor. And, yeah. But you know what? Think about this. Next week, we'll be talking about the playoff matchups on Monday. It is crazy. It is coming along, and it's baby.
It's crazy. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast. I'm Hunter Crafter. Chris Shannon. Go listen to us on thehockeyguys.net.
Fire and the Fury.